The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
How Not to Suck at Divorce listeners, it's your captain speaking, and we've got some news for you.
Divorces are turbulent, and while we can't promise clear skies ahead, we can promise clear skies if you're concerned about an ex's alcohol use around your kids. Listen, I'm an attorney, and I recommend SoberLink. Why? Built-in facial recognition, tamper detection, real-time results, and court-admissible reporting. You can trust it.
I love that SoberLink is the only system designed to support both parents. Look, divorce does not have to suck so bad, and neither should co-parenting. Learn more and get $50 off your device by visiting www.soberlink.com/not suck.
Are you wearing a robe that has bees on it?
Maybe.
We all have to take responsibility for the role that we play.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Terrible. Really, though, that is a bee. It's a bee robe.
It is. I actually got it. A client sent me it, and it's you can't see it, but it has bees on it. And then all the bees are wearing it like a crown, queen bee.
I like that.
It was really a sweet gift.
Very sweet gift. Very fitting. So, you know, Beyonce was in town.
Beyonce.
Wait, side story. Years ago, Beyonce was doing a public appearance at like a Macy's or Marshall Field.
A Macy's. What was she, 10? She would never do that.
No, she was promoting her fragrance line that she had. And there was a guy there that was holding a sign that said, "Here to make you my fiance, Beyonce." I found it so funny.
Okay. Hey, you can't get it if you don't ask.
That's right. But that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that she was in town, you know, for her like show that she just did.
Yep.
And Steve and I were sitting at a bar and they were like, the news was playing and they were talking about, you know, something about people getting, the beehive is getting ready. The beehive is ready.
Yeah.
He had no idea that the beehive is like Beyonce's, you know, group. So we kept saying like, well, what does that have to do with her? Well, why do they keep talking about a beehive? I don't understand. Like, is there like an allergy to bees? Like, why are they all done? Like, Steve, oh my God, like, buddy, lower your voice. Cause it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I need a beehive. We need a bee. Maybe we need like something for our listeners.
What are they going to be called? The suckers?
The suckers.
Oh, not man, good.
Not good.
Good. Speaking of not good, I hear that you've been up to something not so good lately.
Yeah, not so good. Well, lately. Yeah. It's not lately. So, you know, I've been trying to work out a lot because obviously I'm getting older. And one day I'm like, okay, I'm fine. Like everything's fine. The next day I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening to me? Like I look like a monster. And anyway, so I get really excited. I go work out. I'm like really into it. And then I come home and I eat the entire house. So I'm like really full right now because I just, before we started recording, dinner wasn't enough. So I just went and finished off half a loaf of banana bread because it was just talking to me. And now I feel really disgusting, overly full. And I just want to know, did I just cancel out everything I did today? It's like, what is the point?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, actually, I don't think I ever told you this, but I started working with a new nutritionist a few months ago because post my hysterectomy, which Steve keeps referring to as a hysterectomus. It's a gift for us.
It's true.
But my body is like really changed and not for the better. So I've been like getting hardcore with this, with the workouts and with really watching what I'm eating. And it's all about the protein, babe. It's about the protein.
Is there protein in banana bread?
I don't think so.
What? Who would make a banana bread without protein in it? I mean, you know what? Forget it. I don't want to feel bad about myself because I ate my weight in banana bread and it had chocolate chips in it too. So let's just put that out there a lot. So I'm going to pretend like it was all protein. I'm super strong tonight. I'm like, really, I'm in shape over here.
You really are. What kind of a workout though did you do earlier?
You know, I do my weightlifting. I feel like a, you know, Olympic weightlifter with my girl who kicks my buns, which is awesome. But then, you know, what happens when you do serious workouts like that, like a lot of weights, what I notice is I'm starving. And I'm not just starving like when I leave there and that night, but it like makes me starving the next day. So anyway, good news. I ate all the banana bread, so it's pretty much gone. And so it won't be looking at me in the morning when I wake up.
Because good news, it's bad news, news, totally. News all around. I'll tell you, not for nothing, immediately after your workout, like within 30 minutes to an hour, you got to have a protein shake. Got to put that protein right back in your body. I'll share with you the new shakes that I'm loving. They're delicious. Swear to God. Actually, I'll share with everybody. Well, so there's a kind that I make like in a blender, but that's, nobody cares about that. The kind that you can buy on the go, which I think are so good. They're by Fairlife. You know, like the good milk company, Fairlife. Yeah. You can buy them at Costco. They're 30 grams of protein, very low in like sugar, low in all the bad stuff, low fat. I buy the chocolate one. I do like a tiny bit of iced coffee.
Yummy.
Amazing. You won't be over it. You'll be under it.
Promise. Okay. But will I still eat the whole loaf of banana bread?
Maybe you'll eat half.
Ooh, we're working towards things. That's what we always tell our listeners. It's day by day, right?
About to say that.
Hour by hour.
Slice.
Was not good for me. Okay. But next hour is going to be amazing. So let's talk about how not to suck at divorce. Because one of the things that I talked to you about, Andrea, last week is I was like, you know what? We have never done, our whole show is premised on how to do things better. And it really kind of evolved from me watching you talk openly about your divorce. And I said, we've never done a show that actually talks about how you think in retrospect, now that you know all the things that we've done on the show together, how you think you sucked at divorce. And this show is going to be what we're going to talk about, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, me too. Let's just throw Andrea into the hot seat. And
I know, because someone sucked at getting divorced and it wasn't me on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, it wasn't you, Morgan. It was me. It was little old me.
All right. So let's talk about this.
Okay. You know,
what does it mean to you that you say that you sucked at getting divorced? Like, what does that mean exactly in your mind?
You can tell that I'm so excited to talk about this because all of a sudden I got real quiet.
Like, yeah, your face just changed. Your face just changed.
I'm like, okay, let's go. And now I'm like, fuck, why did I?
I know. Were you shocked that this is what we were talking about?
Yeah,
we
right?
No. I was just,
oh, God. Okay, here we go. What does it mean that I sucked? It means that I was functioning from an emotional place the whole time. And which, okay, duh, we're all going to be emotional, but I was so emotionally charged that it made it really hard for me to think logically. I was almost blinded by my feelings. And because of that, I made major mistakes that cost me money, cost me time with my kids, and it cost me a lot of sanity.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, we've mentioned it on some of our other podcast episodes, but we should say it again. I was not your attorney during your divorce. I didn't know you during your divorce. And you and I were really not even recording the show during your divorce. At the end of your divorce is kind of really when our idea kind of popped up.
Yes, that's correct. No, I did not know you until the very, very end of my process. And yeah, we were not. You were definitely not a part of my divorce. So
all right.
let that be known.
It's out there now. So let's give people what they want. Let's give them what they want. Let's just get right to it. What was the first way in or mistake in your mind that you made during your divorce?
You know, I have to be honest here and go back before that because it's, I think it would be a mistake if I didn't talk about the fact that I should not have gotten married in the first place. And a lot of people say that. However, I knew that I should not have gotten married. There were a lot of warning signs, tons of them, and I chose to look the other way for every single one. I knew that on my wedding day, I was probably going to get a divorce. There was just a lot not there. And I so badly wanted a family. I so badly wanted to not be alone. And I went through with it. And I have to say that even talking about it now, like there's still some shame, I think, that we carry, because I know I'm not the only one who has made that choice. And so I want to say that for those of you who are nodding your head right now and thinking like, oh my God, I did that too, and I want to throw up, it's okay. It happened. I think it's important though to acknowledge that, because we all have to take responsibility for the role that we played. It's not like, oh, I got married and then all of a sudden, what? I had no idea. No, I knew. So, yep, I knew from the very beginning that my marriage was very likely going to end in divorce.
Well, you know what? Before I hop into the next question that I have, I want to tell you that I think it's honorable what you're saying right now, because you're really taking the responsibility and you're saying what you knew. And a lot of people would kind of push that down in the pit of their stomach and not let it come out. And you're just owning it. And I really appreciate you being honest about that, because that's a big thing.
The big thing. And it's easy to push it away. It's more comfortable. It's more comfortable. I mean, God, I had so many moments when I was married where you're hanging out with other mom friends and you're sitting there and they're all talking about their married lives. And you're sitting there nodding your head because you so badly want to fit in and you want to agree with everything else that's going on at the table, but you can't. Like you do not relate. And you know, I've also talked a lot about the fact that I've had a panic disorder and a lot of other things. And of course, it all was kind of meshed together. But once I realized I have to start telling the truth, it's made it easier for me to come forward in moments like this and say, okay, there was a lot of bullshit going on. I was a part of it. So thank you for the shout out. And I encourage everyone who's listening who can relate to that, it's okay to start telling the truth. Most importantly, to yourself. You don't have to go and tell other people. That part doesn't matter at all, but be honest with yourself.
I like that advice. Okay. So now we've gotten through the first mistake, which was, you know, getting married in general when you knew it wasn't right. Now you are the one that says you want the divorce. We know that about your story. And I want to know, how did you tell your husband? And do you think that was one of your mistakes? Is that the next mistake you think you made?
So I actually don't think that the way I told my husband was a mistake. I'll tell you that I remember it very clearly. We were going to couples therapy, and it was on the way home from one of our appointments that I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And we need to be done. You know, there's never going to be a way. I mean, of course, you could go to therapy and you can ask your therapist, how should I tell my spouse that I want a divorce? There's not going to be a way that everyone's like, oh, bravo, you did that so well. Oh my God, take a bow, will ya? Right? Like, I think that it's always going to be awkward and uncomfortable, and you wish that you would have said something slightly different, maybe or maybe not. I think that the next mistake, though, was what happened after I told my husband. And that's because, and I've said this before, it's often like you say it, whether you were the one that said it or the other person, and then it's like a shotgun goes off and you are off to the races. Right. And for me, things happened in such a whirlwind that I got so caught up. So I was not prepared for what was going to come my way and for everybody involved after that.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel, because a lot of times in my cases, what I like to do is before they even have that conversation with their spouse, you know, I would like to be more prepared. I'm one of those attorneys that loves to be really prepared for anything before anything happens. Do you think it would have gone differently if, for instance, you and I met and I talked to you about the ways, you know, you're interviewing attorneys before you tell him that you want a divorce. And, you know, I gave you ideas on how to move forward in a good manner and talk to him in a good manner and what it looks like so you wouldn't run so fast once you told him. Do you think that would have made a difference to you?
So without getting into the details of my marriage and my divorce and all the players, maybe and probably not. I think that what would have made a difference, it wasn't a matter of like me running. I think a lot of this has to do with, having a few strategies in place so that when one strategy falls through, you have a backup strategy ready to go. Now, because I'm not a dummy, like it wasn't like I didn't have a plan. I had a plan. It was just that I didn't have a very solid plan B. So, and that's something that I think is a big call out is you can't just have one plan because something's going to happen to that plan. I think that I said this before, it was things were really emotional. There was a lot going on. And because of that, I had a lot of emotional support from people who step in and give emotional support. And I'm talking about professionals, not friends. And unfortunately, sometimes those people are not the people, they're almost always not the people who should be giving legal advice.
Right.
And God, I wish you guys that I could just speak in plain English here and say exactly, but we all know that that can't happen. So read between the lines. It's a sticky topic, but you got to go to an attorney if you want legal advice. There are lots of other people who want to step in and help you, and everybody has the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. But it's not always going to work. So I would say, let's be clear, my second mistake was not having the right tools to think logically. And I was only functioning emotionally. I was not prepared. I didn't have a plan B.
Got it. And you kind of touched on this too. And I think you're probably going to go here next, knowing what we talk about on this show a lot, which was, did you interview many attorneys before deciding?
You're right. That is my next mistake. So I interviewed, I had an attorney that was recommended to me, again, by people that were trying to help. And I did speak to one other person who did not want to take my case. And then I moved straight into an attorney that was recommended. And again, I think I felt like I was playing catch up all of the sudden. I think that things were wacky, things were intense, there was a lot going on. And when that happens, it's really hard to think clearly. And because I was a little bit behind the ball. I didn't already have a very strong legal team in place to say, okay, Andrea, things are about to get wackadoodle-doo, and here's what you're going to do. Instead, it was like things were, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Right.
Hansen on the defense.
Right. And then you realize I've got a lawyer up. And so you sign. And you don't know any better. So that was my third mistake, is hiring the wrong attorney for my case.
Makes sense. Okay. So now you have a lawyer in your divorce. What happens next?
Because of the fact that things were wackadoodle-doo, I needed to move out of my house immediately, which is something that, you know, we typically say you don't want to do. And yeah, nobody really wants to do it. However, my circumstances justified me doing so. There are probably others of you, hopefully not very many, but there are probably others of you listening to this who are like, yeah, I get it. Okay. So I had to move out of my house, which meant that you get immediately thrown into a parenting agreement. When you are just getting started, we're talking, you are just filing, it was like everything in my divorce process was thrown at me at one time. And when I kept asking for what's most important, like, what, how, somebody help, I don't know what to do first. again, because it all comes back to having the right counsel for you and for your case. If you don't have that, then you're already 27 steps behind, mm-hmm. unfortunately, and it's really hard to play catch up. I also did not know, and this is why we've done so many episodes on the parenting agreement and all the help that's out there to help you do a parenting agreement that's right for your children. I didn't know that I had the ability to hire a children's therapist to take a look at the parenting agreement and make sure that this parenting time that I was agreeing to was right. I unfortunately signed a parenting agreement that was not right for my children. And that's the biggest mistake that I made in my divorce. And oh God, I can never get through this without crying, Morgan. Okay. I think one of the reasons why I get really emotional when I talk about it is because it's a very unnatural process. When you have a baby, you never think one day I'm going to sign a legal document that says when I see my children, when I don't see my children, and all of this, these weird custodial things that you're just like, this is so weird. And it's funny because I could differentiate and compartmentalize. Yes, I think I'm going to get a divorce one day, but I really didn't realize about the kid part. Mm-hmm. I could not fathom this idea of not having my babies every day. And my kids were 2 and 4 when I moved out. So they were really little. The parenting agreement that I signed was not right. And it was, that sucked. And that was hard. I did not fully understand the terms of the agreement, which is my fault, right? Because I signed it. No one forced me to sign it. I signed it. And I did not understand the effects that that agreement would have on my children.
Well, and legally, you know, I want to speak on a few points here is, you know, you're under a ton of pressure and stress. So don't beat yourself up so much about that. I just want to say that to you personally. And for our listeners, this is why we're doing this show, so that you don't make those same mistakes. And it's so important to talk to your lawyer, spend the money, ask the questions, figure out how it works. But one idea for you and our listeners, and one thing to think about is, you don't have to just jump into the final agreement right then and there. You don't. You could do a temporary agreement to see how things work. So you could say, you know, for the next 6 months, let's try this schedule with the kids. Let's make sure that the kids are happy, that we're happy, that it works. You don't have to just jump into the final agreement if you're worried about how that could happen. Because when you do sign a final agreement, it's pretty final. There are ways to modify it, but let's be honest, the court is slow. Your ex may not be very reasonable. And so starting it up, although everyone tries to tell you everything's modifiable, and that's true, it's a big uphill battle if we've got someone on the other side not agreeing to that. So the point that I'm saying is you've got one shot to get divorced and get divorced well. One shot. And you just need to make sure you know what every term means and what it means for your children before you sign off on that. So, Andrea, thank you for sharing that story.
I think that it's also important for me to mention, to go along with that, is all roads lead back to who you hire. If you have the right attorney, you are less likely to make these mistakes. Your attorney will not let you make these mistakes. Like Morgan just said, you can do something temporary.
And now, a quick word from one of our sponsors.
You've likely heard of the co-parenting app, Our Family Wizard, but why consider using it?
I'll tell you that not only do I recommend it for high conflict divorce cases, but over 1 million parents and family law practitioners have used it as well.
Our Family Wizard organizes your expenses, calendars, and helps you send more effective and productive messages.
Effective, meaning without the unnecessary snark. I'm looking at you, Andrea.
I'm looking at you, Andrea. Okay, yeah, I would have benefited from Our Family Wizard's tone meter. So guys, don't suck at divorce like I did and go check out Our Family Wizard.
There are options out there that I wish I had known about. Now, with that being said, for those of you that are thinking, oh my God, are her kids, you know, okay? Yes, I was lucky that I did have a clause in there to revise in 2 years. That time came up. I was able to make modifications as I got lucky because enough things change that, again, it's hard to change, even though you can have in your agreement, like, we're going to review in 2 years. It's tricky with the wording. Like in mine, it had to be that things change significantly in order to justify a change, right? I did have significant changes, so I was able to make modifications. So now things are a whole lot better. And those first 2 years were very, very tough on the kids. So it's really important that you have a team of people behind you who are guiding you and really holding your hand through this process. And this is exactly why we do this show.
And I want to make one more comment. So I had a conversation with the client today, and the client basically was frustrated by the process. And I understand that, totally understand that. And almost there's always going to be a point in time where you're frustrated with your attorney, with the bill, with the back and forth. And this client said to me, like, we're just done with the back and forth. And I said to her, okay, I understand that. But what you're telling me is to basically agree to a really crappy deal for you and not do my job. So if that's what you're telling me to do, I will do that. And I will put it in writing that you're telling me to do this, but this is not my recommendation. And here's why. I want you to listen to why these problems will become bigger problems in the future. I'm going to play out your worst case scenario of what you're agreeing to. And I play these scenarios out to these people that just want to rush me. They want to rush the process because it's painful to be in the process. And they think if they rush the process and they rush their lawyer, it's going to save them money. They're going to get out of this hurt and it's going to move on. But guess what? Those documents live on. So be very careful with how you're doing it. And if your lawyer is a good lawyer, they're doing their job to try to make sure you get the best agreement possible for you and your family.
Let me also remind everybody that what Morgan just said illustrates the difference between the client and the professional. The professional is thinking calmly and logically. They see this every day. And yeah, it's a business to them. Of course, this is what they do for a living. But they can see how this is going to play out from a legal perspective, from a financial perspective, you know. And we, the client, we don't know. We're exhausted. We're frustrated. We're broke. We're over it, right? We are the ones scarfing down chocolate chip banana bread in our kitchen. No, that's
me. We have something in common.
But like, you know, like we have had enough. And that's why it's so important that you have counsel that you can look to say, I'm done. I am so fucking done. I don't want to do this. Da, 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 da. I'm over it. Wrap it up. And then they can say, okay, all right, I hear you. These are areas that you could just wrap it up in, right? Whatever, nominal. These are areas I am not comfortable with you just wrapping it up in. And I think that's what's so important to know, because again, this comes back to having the right person and being able to stop and think and breathe. So let's recap. Let's go over the mistakes so far. This is so fun. Okay. Mistake number one on our mistake meter was marrying the wrong person and ignoring my gut. Mistake number two, not having enough tools to think logically and only functioning from an emotional place. Number three, hiring the wrong attorney for my case. And number four, not fully understanding the terms of my parenting agreement and the effect that that agreement would have on my kids. Okay. This is so fun. Just love talking about things that Andrea's done wrong. So my last mistake is agreeing to do this episode. No, my last mistake was not having realistic expectations.
Ooh, okay. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah. And again, I can't get into particulars, but what I can say is that I was not prepared for what my settlement would look like.
Mm.
And I'm saying, I'm using air quotes for the word settlement. So we think one thing, right? Because your life looks one way on paper to you. You might think that financials look a certain way to you, or your soon-to-be ex looks a certain way to you. And you kind of take things at face value. And if you're not really prepared for what can go sideways, what can get thrown your way, then you have an unrealistic expectation. So you can have one beautiful little nugget of a number in your mind of what it's going to be, right? Oh, I think that my alimony, my maintenance, my whatever, my settlement will look like this. And you kind of hold on to that, right? You're like a fucking oar in the middle of the ocean. This is going to be my number. And then when that doesn't happen, you're like, oh my God, I'm drowning. And so I'm telling you right now, don't have a number, because you really don't know. Things are going to change. And it's so hard because you want, because so many things are changing. It's human nature to want to have something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard. It's hard on you to do that because you're going to be disappointed.
So I like that. And I do think for our listeners, they're probably thinking, but Andrea, like, how could I not have a number? How do I know what I'm going to live on or be able to live on? And I'm sure you thought that too. One of the things that a good lawyer will do is they're going to give you the good, bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you ranges. They're going to give you, you know, this is what could happen. This is maybe your worst case scenario. This is if the judge wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and we go to the judge and guess what? You've hit the jackpot on the wrong side of the bed day. And this is what you're going to get. This is your slam dunk. And a good lawyer, you know, the way that I feel that I do it, hopefully, and I'm doing it the right way for most clients, is here's the different ways that I see in your case we can be creative. We could leverage this point to get this point. We could mess around with the numbers on maintenance or child support to get what you really want, which might be X. And so those are, so when you're thinking about it more in the way of a puzzle piece, rather than black and white, that's the better way to think about it. Because if one piece shifts, think of it like Tetris. One piece shifts, the other one may not fit in there. One piece shifts, the other one may fit beautifully in there. What we don't want to see our clients doing is just black and white, getting stuck on a number. And if you don't meet that number, it's just absolutely, your whole case is horrible. Everything is blown up, et cetera. But then you're missing half the things on the other side that maybe you got slam dunks on. So be realistic in that as well. Think of it as a puzzle piece or puzzle pieces, and you have to see how it all fits together.
I think that it's worth mentioning that for some of you who fall into the extremely high conflict category, the puzzle pieces that are going to mean the most to you is going to be that you get out. Okay? We all want money. Like, I hear ya. Girl, there are so many shoes I would buy right now. No, just kidding. No, but like, we all want money. We all want to know that we're not going to have to worry about paying for summer camp for our kids and all that shit. I get it. But for some of you, you're going to have to really look at this thing and say, okay, if I get out of this with the shirt on my back, we're going to figure this out. And it's going to be okay. Now, hopefully for most of you, that's not what we're talking about here. But I will say that one thing that I did right in this was I was able to see how much my mental health was suffering during this process. And I was able to make some game time decisions that I stand by completely. And one of them is major. One of the decisions that I made that most people would say, are you insane? Is that I walked away from my house completely. Take it. You can do whatever you want with this house. I do not care. It wasn't worth it. When you can see that you're really pushing a boulder uphill and you don't know how long this is going to go on for, and you see that you are crumbling. I knew that for me, that I needed to blow the whistle, get all the kids out of the pool and be done. Now, it might not be the house for some of you. It might be something much smaller that you're holding on to that maybe you need to let go of to preserve your sanity. But at the end of this, you don't really get an award for being like, oh, you got all of these things. That's great. But now guess what? You're going into a rehab facility and we don't know when we're going to see your ass again because you fell the fuck apart. I didn't have the ability to fall apart any more than I was. I had to work. I had to function. I had two tiny kids. I couldn't do it anymore. So that was something that I'm proud of myself for, knowing this is something that's not worth the fight for me.
I think that's a good point. And I always can appreciate clients when they say, you know what? I know, Morgan, you told me I can get X more dollars in the bank if I stick it out, if I make this last fight, if I make this last mediation on this last point. But guess what? I don't care because my mental health's at stake. My children are suffering. Everyone's suffering. And guess what? I will make more money. And once I get out of this, once I get more strong, once I get my mental health back in check, I will do okay. And I have a lot of clients that say that. And I think it's admirable too, that somebody can actually look inside themselves, figure out that that is a big issue, and be able to be strong enough to say, all right, we're going to move on because I need this, you know, and it's not worth the dollars that I'm leaving on the table.
The stakes are different for everyone. And the gain is different for everyone.
Yes.
And your threshold for mishigas, as we say in Yiddish, is different for everybody, yes. Right? Like some people can handle a lot and they're like, I'm good, let's roll. And other people are like, I'm out, I can't. Yeah, I think I think for me, you know, like it's not like the particulars of the whole deal that like it's not even a deal that I walked away from. It wasn't like, I'm like, oh, just take it, I'll be fine. It was like, when you really think and you do the math and you think about how much money you're spending to fight this, and then you're thinking about how much you're suffering and how much you would really have to gain in the end, you make that game time decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think one thing you mentioned is so important. And this is something that drives me crazy with people too, when they come in and they want to tell me about their neighbor's divorce or their friend's divorce or what they got. There's no two divorces alike, none. It's the exact same thing about going to the doctor. Your body is not the same as your neighbor's or your friend's. And so the fact of the matter is that you should not be ashamed that your goals differ from other people's goals. You should be honest about your goals. And that is what we're trying to meet, or I'm trying to meet at all times. I know if I went through something like that, my goals are going to be totally different than probably Andrea's main goals. And that's okay. That's okay. And so at the end of the day, if we're meeting the majority of your goals, you may want to step back and say, hey, you know what? I've got the majority of what I really, really wanted and walked in here wanting. And so the ones that are kind of by the wayside, am I going to be okay if I walk away from those? That may be the better route to go.
Let me circle back to something based on what you just said and go back to the parenting agreement. Just because your friend Brenda got divorced a few years ago and she's like, oh, I know exactly what kind of configuration it worked so well for Tanner and Tatum, and here's what you're gonna do. Don't fucking listen to Brenda. Tanner and Tatum have their own bag of problems. They're not the same problems that your kids have. You don't know it. You can't just take someone else's word for it when it comes to really personal things like a parenting agreement. That's why, as I mentioned before, and I kind of briefly mentioned it, and I want to go back to that, you can hire a children's therapist to look at your parenting agreement, talk to you, get to, like, figure out like the lay of the land with your family, and then give a professional opinion on, you know what? I think that this is too many days for a kid to go without seeing their dad. Or you've got this pickup and this drop off thing, but didn't you say that your kids have basketball until really late that night, which means that by the time you pick them up, you're really not getting quality time with them. You're blah, 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 blah. Like, just, you have to really think about this stuff. And keep in mind, parenting agreements are not done for the parents. They're done for the kids. So it's not about what works best for your schedule and what works best for, you know, your ex's schedule. It's about the babies.
I agree. Okay, so I'm going to recap all of the ways or mistakes you made, if you don't mind, just so that I can just remind you of the mistakes. Uh-huh. Also, I'm going to try to do it fast because my leg is asleep and it's really, really annoying right now. But that's okay. Wow. I'm just going to keep shaking it.
If you remember nothing else from this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce,
we just want you to remember this.
All right. Mistake number one, getting married to the wrong person and ignoring your gut. That was your mistake number one.
Check.
Mistake number two, not having the tools to think logically and only functioning emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
Number three, hiring the wrong attorney for your case.
Mm-hmm. Accurate. Mm-hmm.
Number four, not fully understanding the terms of the parenting agreement and the effects it would have on the kids.
Yep.
And number five, bringing it home, Andrea, yeah. The last mistake you made was not having realistic expectations.
And there you have it, folks. There you have it. Those are the top five mistakes that I made in my divorce. On a personal note, I'll say that for those of you who followed my story in real time on social media, you know that I was in a relationship the entire time that I was getting divorced. And we will talk about that more in a later episode this season. But it's worth mentioning for me to mention that I do not consider that choice to be one of my mistakes, in case you all are wondering. But for many of you, that could be a big mistake. So we do talk about that a lot. And so I think that it's important for those of you who were like waiting to hear about that. You have to be mindful of all of the players in the game. I will say though, that one of the upsides of being in a relationship is that you have the support and you're getting all of that. But one of the downsides is there is a sense to want to rush the process and like wrap things up, right? Because you want to move on because you've got that person there, you know, who's like ready to like not watch you cry every day, you know? And so there is some of that, but I think that that's something that we'll definitely get into more, but I thought it was important mentioning because I know a lot of people who followed my story are like, how come she didn't get into that?
Oh, we can get into that much, much more again. But I appreciate you, Andrea, coming on tonight and actually talking about your mistakes. This is why we started this podcast to begin with. And although we didn't really hone in until tonight of like your actual real mistakes and do a whole episode about it, we've kind of touched on them through the podcast, but I just felt like it was important to get those out and our listeners really, you know, kind of probably identify with your story. And I appreciate you actually being vulnerable because it's not easy to come on, even though we're the hosts or hostesses of this show. It's not easy to come on and say, yeah, I really sucked and here's why.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, especially I think the hardest part for me is like talking about mistakes that I made regarding the kids, right?
Yeah.
Other stuff, you're like, okay, well, that's fine. But when it comes to your kids, like, man, that'll bring you to your knees. And, you know, it's funny because we had our first in-person meeting of the How Not to Suck at Divorce community last week. And there was a few people there who asked me some questions about my story and I shared. And so it is really important. We actually spent a good amount of time talking to one woman about the parenting agreement that she was in the process of putting together. And I just think, man, thank God I sucked at getting divorced, because it allowed us to put together this show that I think people really need. You know, like, I think it's important to be able to say, yeah, I fucked up and I don't want you to fuck up the way that I did. And here's how we can help you. So, you know, live, laugh, love. That's all I have to say about that.
Live, love. Well, regardless, thank you. I'm proud of you. I'm happy that we did this. And listen, if you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so me, don't worry. We're here for you. We know that divorce is draining. We know it can suck. We know that sometimes it's day by day, other times it's hour by hour, and that's okay, because there is another side to this. You will come out on the other side.
You absolutely will. There are going to be days where it doesn't feel like you will, but you got to just keep swimming. You have to keep swimming. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. Keep going and reach out to us. I don't know if you guys know this, but we are actual real people. These are not bots you are listening to. And you can send us messages on our social media platforms. They are all linked in the show notes. We'll answer you. Ask us a question.
And if I made you hungry tonight talking about my banana bread recipe, I'm happy to share it. The first person who DMs us about it, I am going to share that recipe and you are not going to be disappointed. Do not give me any more though, because I can't handle any more after tonight.
I thought you were going to say that you were going to bake a loaf and ship it to them, but now it's just sharing a recipe. Come on, girl.
No, I do not. I am not a good baker. You don't want me baking anything.
Maybe I'll have to bake it and ship it out. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that. Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. We're doing it. Divorce and banana breads.
Let's do it. You will be happy. Your belly will thank you. Your butt may not, but that's okay.
Okay. First person to send us a DM about the banana bread. Guess what? You're getting a banana bread. We're going to grow that booty so that ours looks smaller. You're welcome. And on that note, friends, we love you all. We appreciate you all. If you loved this episode and Morgan's banana bread, please take that love to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Nothing below 5. We will not accept it. If you think that we're less than 5 stars, keep your dumb opinion to yourself. Write us a glowing review. We would so, so appreciate it. It helps us bring the caliber of guests on this show that you deserve. Join our private communities. We've got 2 of them for you. 1 on Patreon if you need to listen to our episodes privately. And you are welcome to join our Facebook group. Both of those links are in our show notes.
And remember, the days may be tough, but you have this and we've got you.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.